These songs were inspired by God, and they were given, and Sister Sherry's going to explain this a little bit. I'm going to stand here and be the pointer for a little bit while she does some explaining. But anyway, you know, it's really, really important that we find, you know, we find out why and when these songs were written. And again, they were inspired of God. And again, it was because that there were people that were rejoicing. Why? Because they came out of darkness. They came out of darkness and they had something to rejoice about. And something, the young people, this is something that we really need to work on. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for what we have. Because you think about these brethren that wrote these songs, and sisters that wrote these songs, they came through a lot of things. A lot of things. They came out of great darkness. And we ought to be very, very thankful that we are living in the light. We're living in the light. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for everything that you've done for us. And as we study together tonight, as we look at a couple songs that, you know, you've laid on our heart, because our young people, they want to know where these songs came from. What's the meaning behind these songs? And so, Lord, as we endeavor to do that tonight, help us, Lord, to appreciate the light, appreciate all the things that you've given us. Thankful for the truth of your word. We're so thankful for salvation tonight. And so, Lord, we pray you bless our young people. Help them in a special way. Help them with their problems. Help them with their needs. Help them with their burdens. You know exactly what they all stand in need of tonight. We appreciate them so very, very much. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
So I think it was last week that we passed around papers and pencils and asked you to write down a topic that you would like us to study. And so we're starting tonight with one of the topics that was turned in, and that is, Sister Sherry, could you help us understand some of our songs in the hymnal? And so that's why tonight we passed out this Evening Light hymnal. This is typically the one we use in our church service. And so we'd like to talk to you a little bit about this, so to understand what we're singing, because I don't know about you, sometimes I'm like, what's that mean? I've had some of my children say, what's that mean? So I think it's, first of all, it's good to kind of maybe talk about when this hymnal was written, because it's going to help you understand a lot about what was going on in the author's minds, and it helps you to understand the words that they put down on paper. So this actually came, this book here came from a book called Select Hymns that was written approximately in 1911. So this hymnal was put out by the Gospel Trumpet Company. And so you'll find probably the majority of these authors in here would be in that time period, about the late 1800s, when these were written. I think it's interesting that we start with the title, Evening Light Songs. What's that mean? Well, evening, that's the night. That's like when it's, you know, it's past supper time. What does that mean spiritually? And why would they call the book the Evening Light Songs? So this is why we have the Revelation chart on the board behind us. So if you've been in our Sunday school class, or currently, or in previous years, you're going to have a basic, you're already going to have an understanding of what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to quickly kind of talk about some things on here, because so much of the symbolic or imagery that's in the songs, which songs and poems do a lot of, comes from this right here. And so if we can have this chart up here, that might help us understand some of the things that these songs are talking about. So this Revelation chart, and this chart here, you'll see a lot of times charts can differ from one church to another. It's just whoever the artist was. This is a drawing of what perhaps the Apostle John saw when he was given the Revelation vision. That's in our last book in the Bible. So what happens here is you'll see it's divided into seven portions on our Revelation chart. You see all the different names across the top. It's not perfect. We got some of our magnets are kind of hiding it. But basically, this is a story. It tells you about the Church of God. It tells you when it was born. It tells you her enemies. It tells you how she had to fight, how she got victory, and how she overcame. Now, when John received the revelation, most of this was what? Past, present, or future? Future. Today, where do we live at today? Does anybody want to tell me? We live in Laodicea. So most of this chart is what? Past. All right. So it's really good if we have a real basic understanding of what is called the gospel day. So from this point right here, where this chart begins, this is kind of like the Old Testament, so we'll scoot it over a little bit. So from right here until right here, it's called the gospel day. And the gospel day is divided into how many days? Seven. So there's 7 days in a day. Again, a lot of symbolic language, but it's pretty cool. Anybody in here studied it in Sunday school and thought it was pretty cool? I need some hands. Yes, thank you very much. Awesome. All right, great. So we're going to go, Brother Steve and I are going to take turns and go through a couple songs, but I want to grab some key phrases, and we'll point to this Revelation chart, and I'm hoping that it'll help understand a little bit better. All right, so again, I told you that the church was born, it began here. What event happened here? This is AD 33. A couple of major events. Anybody have any ideas? So we have the crucifixion, we have the resurrection, is that what we said back here? And there was one more. Day of Pentecost, what happened? So the Holy Spirit came down, we were able to have him live in our hearts now. So the church was born. When a day begins, it's called what?
Morning.
This is the morning. This is the morning time church. So you'll see it in a song. It talks about the morning time church. People were excited about, well, yes, because Jesus finally came. The whole Old Testament said he's coming. And he came. And he did exactly what the Old Testament said. So there'll be some songs that'll be excited about that. He came. He died. He rose from the grave. Then they talk about the sun went up. So we see Christ here. This is representing that light of Christ. Now, if this is the morning, what would this be? What would the middle of the day be called? Noon. Great. And what happened in this chart at noon? What should happen at noon? Where's the sun at noon? It's going to be right. It's going to be the hottest, the highest point. It's going to be the hottest. But on this chart, look at this. Look at the sky right here at noon. What is it?
Dark.
It's dark. So if it's dark in the middle of the day, what's probably happening, literally? What's probably happening? Could be a storm. What could come between you and the sun so you can't see the sun?
Clouds.
Clouds? What else?
Eclipse.
An eclipse. An eclipse. You ever seen an eclipse where that is, what's the moon, right?
It would have been a solar eclipse.
Right. Comes in and blocks. So in the scripture, when the songs say the sun went down at noon, they're saying there's no light. Why was there no light at noon? This little thing right here, this little guy, he's sitting on the throne. Does anybody have any idea what he's representing?
The moon.
This. Exactly. Representing Roman Catholicism, the Pope, the head of it. So Roman Catholicism was the dominant religion during what time? The Dark Ages. They're called Dark Ages because why? It was spiritually dark. Very good. So the sun, light, truth, understanding, went down at noon. There was no visible church of God during this time. Then God begins to bring light back through the reformers, through Martin Luther, through the Wesleyan brothers. He brings back light. Then we get to the end of the day. What's the end of the day called?
The evening.
So we live in the evening time. So these two church ages together here, Philadelphia and Laodicea, they're not separated. Those are called the evening time. So you can imagine when people didn't understand a lot of things spiritually. First of all, we have the morning time, and it's awesome, and Jesus comes preaching the gospel, and he dies and goes back to heaven, and then the apostles are preaching the gospel, and the church is on fire, and they convert the then known world in just about, I forget, like 3 to 5 years, really fast. It's awesome. But what happened to cause the Dark Ages? It starts with an A. Apostasy. People let down on truth and let down on truth. That's not important. That's not important. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. And it goes into darkness. And people are wandering around not really knowing what's right and what's wrong. And it's a terrible time. Terrible doctrines. We covered this in Sunday school. Terrible doctrines came out of that. So you can imagine as light starts coming back. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, that makes, thank the Lord. And we get to the evening time. Light breaks at last. What's the next word? Hallelujah. You know what? When we grow up in the church of God and we hear this all our life, we can't say hallelujah like they can say hallelujah. We can't say light breaks at last because we've had this all our life. And the great danger of being a Church of God kid is you get ho-hum. You get used to it. It's, oh, we've always heard that, Sister Sherry. I've always known that. I didn't have to come out of darkness. I didn't have confusion about what's truth in the Bible. I've always been taught that. And we sit down. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah to God. What is going to happen if you lose your appreciation for the truth of God? You may very well lose it. So what we're trying to do tonight is bring some things out from this songbook. These people were on fire. These people were excited. They were coming out of darkness.
I want to point one thing out. Not only was there great darkness as far as spirituality was concerned, but what also came out of these dark ages? There was something called the what plague? The black plague. So not only spiritually, and so this is a lesson to us. We lose out spiritually, economically. It was a very, very horrible time to
scientifically.
Live. Scientifically. And then also you think about, you know, the cleanliness and all those sorts of things. All those things went down. They were in great darkness. But we ought to take a lesson from that. You think about our current state of affairs in this country today and in our world. Where are we headed? We're headed down. And if we're not careful, you're going to see our economy. You're going to see a lot of things us go backwards in because we're letting down spiritually. So when you let down spiritually, it has a great impact on the rest of your living, the rest of your life. So just keep that in mind.
One thing I wanted to bring out before, and then I'll take a hymn or two, and then Brother Steve will. D.S. Warner is going to be kind of the face of the Philadelphia, we call it the Philadelphia Age. That doesn't mean that he's the only reformer in this time, just means he's one of the major ones. And D.S. Warner began to preach the truth on unity. And we've got here, let me pull this out. This is the masthead from the Gospel Trumpeter. We've talked about this more than once. The three main parts on those banner there. Truth that was lost and then restored. The first one is what? Starts with a J. Justification.
And where did that happen? Right here.
So there in the Dark Ages, they were taught that you were saved by your works. And Martin Luther began to remember the scripture, the just shall live by faith. It is by faith that you are saved, lest you should boast. Light began to be restored on justification. Then light, point out Brother Steve, was restored on sanctification,
right,
which is holy living. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to have that sin you will, sin you must. You can live a holy life. Then light was restored, the third part, on unity. God's people need to be joined and the one name. At this point, there were so many names, you probably couldn't even keep track of them. So, D.S. Warner, he's in this church age right here. He's preaching, come out of her, false religion, my people. He began to understand that the right name of the church. And you look in your hymnal, many, many songs are written by him. And so I thought it was really cool. I saw a quote where he was talking about, he was looking over the printing press, printing the song pages, maybe not necessarily this exact book. I'm pretty sure it grew over time and got more lengthy. But as he's looking over that, he said, praise the Lord for the glorious message and songs that will be sung around the world. Now, Elizabeth Elliot, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but I enjoy listening to her podcasts. And she talked about as a child, the hymnal was part of their family worship. She said, we learned what the church believed in from the hymns. And Church of God kids, we know these hymns, don't we? We know them. We can sing them and have no idea what they mean. And so that's what Brother Steve and I are going to try to do tonight with just a couple of hymns. And we may do this again because I think it brings new understanding. The next time you go to sing this, you're like, oh, Brother Steve said that this means that's really cool. So I want you to take your hymnal and go to page 1. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that the first song would be the same title as the book. All right, mix. So I'm just going to grab some key. I'm not going to go through this whole song, but just some key phrases. Brighter days. That means light's coming. So much that we didn't understand. We're starting to understand. It's sweetly dawning. Look, it says misty fogs. So when you're in like in a mental brain fog, you can't think straight. You don't understand. You're trying to do algebra. It doesn't make any sense. You're in a mental fog. Now that's bad enough. But you get your Bible out and you're in a spiritual fog. That's really bad. And it says the fog is lifting. The fog is, it's so long concealing. Then we see here the ransomed are returning. People had been just spread all over the place in all kinds of religions. And they're starting to wake up to God has one true church. So you see there the chorus. Pure light is coming fast. Lots and lots. What grammatical mark do you see a lot of in here? A lot of exclamation points. Does that mean, oh, what golden glory streaming? Is that an exclamation point? Oh, I understand it now. What golden glory streaming. All right. I'm going to look at page 8 and then Brother Steve's going to take over. So turn to page 8. I like this one a lot. We do this one in Sunday school. This is the gospel day. All right. Light breaks at last. In the morning of grace, when the sun, Jesus Christ, first arose, and the gospel divine put to flight all its foes, the then known world was evangelized in a very, very short time. The nations rejoiced. Isaiah talks about a nation born in a day. 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost were saved, I believe, in the morning, and I think 5,000 that night. I believe that's the right numbers. But forsook it so soon. Apostasy turned their back on truth. And what happened? The sun in his strength was darkened at noon, the dark ages. Number 2, long years, the people are wondering, have we dwelt in confusion and strife? The Protestants put armies on the field who fought and killed the Catholics. You read your history, I'm sure you know that. So that's pretty severe over who has the right understanding of the Bible. Long years have we groped where contention and error were rife, but now we have found what we sought for so long. Hundreds and thousands of years they did not have understanding. Can you imagine a time in the Dark Ages when you didn't have a Bible? Because first of all, the printing press had not been invented, so they were very hard to come by. Secondly, they made sure that they were in what language? Latin. And why was Latin a problem?
Because
that is exactly right. Only the highly educated could read Latin. It was considered a dead language. So they couldn't even read their Bible to see what was the truth was. You can imagine the joy. We're getting understanding and we're getting light. Behold, now we see by the evening's fair light, and it gleams from Mount Zion. So here's Mount Zion, the church of God, in its radiance bright. The mist of confusion, there's that mist, there's that fog again, is passing away as the darkness recedes at the breaking of day. We have found it at last. See, we haven't had to search for it like our ancestors and our families, generations in past had to search for it. Sister Carla Presley testified this morning. You've heard my mom's testimony. She moved from Nebraska to Ohio because she wanted truth. In Ohio, she didn't have any friends. Her parents were here just in between evangelistic trips. They didn't live here. My mom and my dad moved, what is it? How many thousand miles is that? A lot.
Probably about 2,500 miles.
Yeah. To another state because they wanted this light. We found it at last. The one holy flock. Oh, there's holiness. There's sanctification. 'Tis the church of the Lord, and it stands on a rock. Spread the news far and wide. Till it reaches each shore that the sun in his strength. See, the sun went down, but now it's back. Shall shine evermore. Light breaks at last. Hallelujah to God. Darkness is past. Let us shout. Don't talk. Darkness is past. Did you know that we're not in darkness anymore? Shout it aloud from the mountains and the hills. Is that right? Right? Yes. Let us gather the few who will stand for the right and dare to be true. One thought, and then I'm going to let Brother Steve do his songs. When we talk about we have the light, the brightest light of all time, why is that the truth? How do we have more light than the apostles who walked with Jesus? Right here, I heard something.
We have the Holy Spirit.
We do have the Holy Spirit. Okay, so then how do we have more light than the morning church who had the Holy Spirit? That's a good thought.
History.
We know what the man of sin is that Apostle Paul talked about. We know what the dark ages are about now. All these things, the Apostle John, he's seeing the vision. He doesn't really know. What did the Apostle John do that was showing you he had did not have an understanding about our day? What did the Apostle John do when he saw this? He marveled at this beast. We know it is a hideous beast. It's not a good thing. We know that. But John couldn't understand that because he was on this side. We're on this side. That's how we're so blessed to have the light of 7 days. Brother Steve?
Now, you might say, finish kind of tagging on to the end of what Sister Sherry. Daniel, I want you to think about this. This right here is the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. He saw it as a grand and glorious thing. However, when Daniel saw that vision, what he see it as? These four hideous beasts right here, which basically was talking about what was going to be happening here. And so I want you to turn to page 2. Page 2. We're going to look at this particular song on page 2. It's called Prophetic Truth. And we don't have the time to go in depth into what this song is about. But I want you to notice something as well. Right underneath the title, what do you see right underneath the title? You see a scripture, right? And if you flip back through here, you will find a lot of these songs, or many of these songs, will have a scripture underneath it. Well, what is that scripture there for? It's kind of the foundation for the song. Okay, it's the foundation for the song. They're using that scripture to build that foundation for the song that the writer is writing.
I've used scriptures for songs for like an inspiration, like a way to say it with singing, like read it.
Absolutely. So again, if you notice, if you flip through back through here, you'll find a number of the songwriters used a scripture or had a scripture for their foundation or their inspiration, as Brother Jacob might say, for the particular song. So let's look at Zechariah 14 and 7. It says here, but it shall be one, or in another translation it says it shall be a unique day, which shall be known to the Lord, not a day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. So this is the prophet Zechariah that is writing this. And so in the very first sentence it says, 'twas sung by the poets, foreseen in the spirit. So in other words, there were prophets back in the Old Testament, back in this time right here in the Old Testament, they had a vision. They had a vision. They were looking forward to this day. God gave them a message on, you know, Christ coming, Christ's death and resurrection. And Zechariah here had a vision as far as how it was going to be light in the evening time, in the time in which we live. But it says, 'twas sung by the poets, foreseen in the spirit, a time of refreshing is near. I want you to think about, maybe think about the time that you were the most thirsty. Maybe you were out working. Maybe you're out doing something. Maybe you've gone somewhere. I took a bike ride one time here just not too many weeks ago. And what did I forget? It was a 28-mile bike ride, and I forgot my water. That was horrible. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got back, I was cramping up, and it hurt. I was horrible. I was so dry. I was so parched. And that water never tasted so good. Well, again, I want you to think about this. Think about all the darkness, all the division, all those things that they were in. It was a time of refreshing in the evening time. Why? Because God brought all this great light that they have. So a time of refreshing is near. It says when creeds and divisions. So it says here when creeds and divisions. Well, what are those creeds? It is things that were preached in false religion. Things that were false. And it says, and divisions. And what we're talking about here is sectism. The walls that sectism built. The separation. It separated God's people from what the truth really was. Would fall to demerit. Well, what does that mean? It means that because of the light, creeds and divisions, they fall short. That's what demerit means. It falls short of where God wants his people to be. So people caught up in those creeds, people caught up in divisions, you might say, it they're falling short of where God really wants them to be. So God wants his people walking in unity. He wants them walking together. And so moving on to verse 2 for the sake of time, it says the moon. So there is, in the second verse, it talks about the moon as the day spring does shine. Well, what does that mean? I want you to think about this. In the moon here that the woman is standing on in the book of Revelation, what does the moon represent? The Old Testament.
Foundation.
So it's the foundation. But there were a lot of things in the Old Testament, we call them dark sayings, things that they just could not understand. But when the light come, when Jesus came, when the New Testament light was revealed, these weren't dark sayings no more, because the light of God's Word in the New Testament brought understanding to those dark sayings in the Old Testament. Those things that were hidden, you might say, were brought to light. So the light was shown on the Old Testament and brought understanding. So again, you know, there are people out there that will say, well, the Old Testament's not relevant anymore. Absolutely wrong. That's absolutely wrong. We need the Old Testament. Especially when you preach Revelation, you need the Old Testament, all right? Because remember, Sister Sherry, we talk about everything in the God's Word has a mate, right? And a lot of that time, what you read in the New Testament has a mate in the Old Testament. And so, everything has its mate. But it says, the moon as the day spring the sun shine. The light of the sun is now equal to 7. Well, Sister Sherry explained that. So the light of the sun, you're talking about all 7 periods of time here. So the sun is equal to 7. So we have that light of all 7 periods of time. All right, so we're able to look back. Where John looked forward, we can look back. Why? Because it's history to us, right? It's history to us. And so, verse 3, one thing that I want to point out here, it says, now filled with the Spirit and clad in the armor of light and omnipotent truth. Well, who's omnipotent? God is, right? And who is truth? God. God's truth. All right? We testify ever, and Jesus will honor and stand from Zerubbabel aloof. Well, what does that phrase mean? Stand from Zerubbabel aloof. Well, if you look at the dictionary definition of aloof, it means removed or distant, either physically or emotionally. So what does that mean spiritually to us? When we stand from Zerubbabel aloof, well, first of all, we want to be as far away from sin as possible, right? We want to be as distant as possible from that. Well, what is Babel? I want you to think about Babylon. Babylon in the Old Testament What did that represent? If I said something about Old Testament Babylon, what did it do to the people of God? What was it, Brother Ben?
Captivity.
They held the people of God captive. So what does Babel mean to us in our day?
Apostasy.
Well, it starts by apostasy, and what is it, what it does is, again, we talk about false religion. Babel is false religion, and people are being held captive by the false teachings. And so what this is saying here is that God wants his people removed or distant spiritually from sin and nominal religion. He wants his people to come to the truth of his word. He wants us to distance ourselves from that, be no part of it. So stand from sin, Babel, aloof. Verse 4. The prophet's keen vision, transpiercing the ages, beheld us to Zion's return. We sing of our freedom. Though Babylon rages, again, what happened with Babylon? I'm talking about spiritual Babylon. Did they like the message? Did they like the message of come out of her, my people? Well, absolutely not. Absolutely not, because what they were doing? They were losing their people, right? And so that upset them. That upset them. So Babylon rages. Let me finish on here. We shout as her city doth burn. Well, what? Are we a bunch of arsonists? What does that mean? I mean, seriously. We shout as her city doth burn. It's burning. Come on now. We're not a bunch of arsonists, and we don't see, what do you want to say, any glory, you might say, in watching something burn down, right? It's usually a very, very sad occasion. Well, what does that mean? Literal Babylon, just as we talked about a little bit ago, held God's people captive. Spiritual Babylon is holding God's people captive by their teachings and their false doctrines. And so we shout because the word of God burns up all their false doctrines. It burns up everything that is not biblical. That's what we're rejoicing over. We're rejoicing over it. Whatever false teachings that Babylon is putting out there, the word of God in its truth burns all those things up. And so, that's why we should shout tonight, is because all those false ways or all those false teachings, God's word exposes tonight. And it burns all those things up. And so verse 5. The fig tree is budding. The evening is shining. We welcome the wonderful light. We look for the Savior. For time is declining. Where are we at? We're in the end time. If you notice, there is no end date to this period of time. And when Jesus said, or when God says it's time, that's the end, right? That's the end. So, but time is declining. Eternity is looming in sight. The chorus says, oh, glory to Jesus. Again, like Sister Sherry said, they use a lot of exclamation points here. Why? Because they're rejoicing. They're shouting. Oh, glory to Jesus. We hail the bright day. And high on our banner. Remember, we sing that song, His Banner Over Me Is Love, right? What does that mean? Remember, we've had lessons on this. Our banner is who we stand with, right? Think about in the Civil War. They had banners. They had regiment flags, whatever you might say. And what on that regiment flag, it gave the name of the regiment. It was a rallying point. Well, that banner is the rallying point for the saints of God. So high on our banner. Well, what is that? What's our rallying point? Salvation. Salvation's the rallying point. Why? Just as Brother Decker preached this morning, it's available to everybody. I want you to think about that. It's available to everybody. High on our banner, salvation display. And as Sister Sherry already talked about, the mists of confusion. Think about the confusion people were in. There's a lot of people in confusion yet today. The mists of confusion are passing away. Those of you that drive, how many love to drive in the fog? Anybody like driving in the fog?
Roll your windows down.
How often have you ever driven and you've driven in the fog and you can't hardly see in front of you, and all of a sudden, boom, there's somebody in front of you? How much better I like it to drive on a clear day. That way you can see way far ahead of you. You can see way out. You can see everything out ahead of you. But think about, it's confusing sometimes. It's disorienting to be driving in the fog.
Yeah, you can still have it at night.
Absolutely. But it's disorienting to drive in the fog. Why? Because you can't see where you're going. And there are people, spiritually speaking, that are wandering in the fog tonight. But thankful, the Word of God tonight will clear all of that confusion away. Clear all that confusion away. And so, we're thankful tonight. We're thankful tonight for the Word of God. And we ought to appreciate tonight. I hope going through maybe a couple of these songs tonight will help us understand what great light that we do have, and have a great appreciation for it. Because like Sister Sherry said, if we do not appreciate it, we'll lose it. We'll lose it. We'll go right back into the confusion that these brethren came out of. So let us stand. If you would, please.